Blog Talk Radio.
Prohibitionists and anti-pornographers, and really a guy who was really he added his name to the lexicon of bias. Anthony Comstock was born in 1844, and he's the guy who wanted to shut down pornography, well, not pornography, but stills and all that. Him and Carrie Nation should have gotten together. She was going around smashing taverns and stills and that sort of thing. And the term Comstock was given to these people who were very biased about people's vices and preferences. If you eat grapefruit, lemons, and much of the fruit, Luther Burbank was born on this day, and it's actually Burbank Day in California. All the Czechs who know their history remember this man, the great Czech patriot, Thomas Masaryk, who was the first president of Czechoslovakia after the breakup of the Austro-Hungarian Empire after the end of World War I when the Germans and the Austrians were defeated. He was very dapper, probably one of the most famous modern French composers, Maurice Ravel, and people best know him for one of the 50 famous pieces, the Bolero. One of the worst monsters of the Nazi hierarchy, the number two man in the Gestapo, even Himmler feared him. Reinhard Heydrich was born. He was originally he joined the German Navy and was cashier. It is not known what it was, whether he got some officer's wife pregnant or he was a closet homosexual or what, but he was known as the Beast, and he was eventually they caught up with him, ironically, in Prague, Czechoslovakia, where a British special operations force went in to assassinate him, and they bungled the assassination, but by a freak, Heydrich was sitting. He used to ride an open car every day to the castle where he did his latest dirty work. And that one day when the hit squad screwed up, their guns jammed or whatever, but one of the guns shot Heydrich as he was, and the bullet went through the seat, which had some cow's hair or something, and it impregnated in his back, and he got an infection from which he died, and it was a horrible revenge perpetrated upon, inflicted upon the people of Lidice, where the whole village was wiped out. The children were sent to concentration camps. The men were put in a church, herded in a church, and burned to death, and women, horrible things. And then the whole village was, a little town, was wiped off the map, burned, and all the ashes were thrown in the river. And, of course, there's a famous little memorial to Lidice in Illinois to this day. But Heydrich got his, and he was also responsible for, along with Eichmann, who Heydrich was his boss, for the Holocaust in Eastern Europe, where the Jews were to be exterminated. This happened at the Wannsee Conference, which is a little lake outside of Berlin. This happened in January of 1942, I believe. Among the other birthdays today, a great Italian actress had a magnificent face, just like Irene Papa's Anna Magnani, born today. The husband of Princess Anne, Anthony Armstrong Jones, who was a photographer. He later, after he married Princess Anne, he became Lord Snowden. They got divorced. This woman is eventually got divorced from, it was known as Tammy Faye Baker, who was part of that religious fundraising scam. Of course, there were some other scandals involving this group. There's a lot, you know, only the Catholic Church and its cardinals, bishops, monks, and brothers, and even nuns get accused, and rightfully so in many cases, of abusing children of both genders. But this outfit was also involved. A lot of these Protestant groups, which pretend to be oh so holy, and they're rolling in the aisles, and of course they're passing the collection basket, were involved in also sexual misconduct. And we have a case here with a guy named Amos Brown, who has $250,000 in pedophile judgments against him, and he happened to be promoted by a newspaper, the old San Francisco Examiner, for public office. And here he had $250,000 in pedophile judgments against him, among other things. And of course, this is how different ethnic groups are treated. Had he been a Roman Catholic priest, I wonder if they would have endorsed him for public office and a seat on the San Francisco Housing Authority, which is itself one of the worst housing authority operations in the United States. Among the deaths today, in 322, Aristotle, the great philosopher, died. St. Thomas Aquinas, who was a great theologian in the Roman Catholic Church. In 1932, Aristide Briand. Now, he's famous. He was the premier of France, but they were called the Kellogg-Briand Act, which happened during the Harding-Coolidge administration, which was an international disarmament agreement, and which largely dealt with naval ships, battleships, cruisers, aircraft carriers were just coming into their own at the time. And this was held in the Washington a Naval Disarmament Conference held in Washington. It was one of the highlights of the Harding-Coolidge administration. You heard the song Keep the Home Fires Burning. Ivor Novello died on this day. 1986, Republican Senator, Jewish heritage, Jacob Javits, died at 81. His daughter is involved in a lot of these controversial so-called affordable housing projects here in California. Her name is Carla Javits, and a lot of questions about this real estate racketeering that these people are involved in. Remember the Long Ranger, Robert Livingston? He died on this day. Among the events, we have Henry VIII. His divorce was denied by the Pope, and of course these are some of the things that come up in the history of the papacy, which the world will be focusing on because a new Pope will be chosen pretty soon. In 1644. Massachusetts had the first, they created the first two-house legislature. Now, a lot of questions. Do do the states really need two houses? Nebraska has one house. I think Arkansas has one. Do we really need this extra burden on the taxpayers, two houses, a House of Representatives and a state Senate? It's a question that people need to ask, because government really isn't any more efficient or honest, or is it even better? This is a question that voters need to ask themselves. Do we need two houses? Also in 1801, get this, Massachusetts was also the state to legislate a statewide voter registration. Now, here's one of the political fictions in voter registration and voter ID. Did you know that at least the Teamsters, and I witnessed this myself, that they were in a Teamster election of officials, that the Teamster union members have to produce a voter facial ID, a photographic ID, before they can, when they sign in to vote. So this whole business about, oh, you can't get photo ID, and it's a burden and all that. Well, here's one of the most left-wing unions that requires it of its own members. So it just shows you the contradiction and all this political fiction about a voter about ID, which has your photo on it, or a person's photo on it. In 1843, get this, Maine, which is next to Quebec, Canada, they elected their first Catholic as governor, a guy named Ed Kavanaugh. In 1850, one of the congressional laws, the 1850 Compromise, was led to the American Civil War in 1861. And then we had a guy in 1854, if you remember the old sewing machines. Well, Charles Miller invented the first sewing machine that stitched buttons. We don't see those anymore. And, of course, here is what I call another episode in the further advancement of the Gutenberg communication revolution. In 1876, Alexander Graham Bell patented the telephone. Now, there's a famous movie with Don Ameche about Alexander Graham Bell. In 1908, we had the mayor of Cincinnati, a guy named Max Breed, made this announcement that women are not physically fit to operate automobiles. Now, what's interesting, today we see a lot of these, especially younger women, driving what is in effect these trucks, these BMW SUVs, Mercedes, even Volkswagen. Remember, Volkswagen was a little beetle, and these people drive recklessly. We'll be putting more up on our damn reckless driver-affiliated website. It's just incredible. We have an epidemic of reckless driving out there, and it's not only women. It's people who are driving these vehicles. They don't realize how powerful they are, and they kill people. A recent example was in New York this past week, where a Hasidic couple, young couple, 20 and 21, a woman was pregnant. They were on their way to a hospital to deliver the baby, which was 7 months old. And this goon, his picture is on this website here today. I was speeding in a BMW going 60 miles an hour when he crashed into the taxi cab, killed the husband and wife, and injured the baby. The baby died a couple of days later. This is an example of this epidemic of reckless driving that we have here. I hear it from people all around the country about the driving. The rules of the road are not enforced, not only for the people driving automobiles and trucks, but also the bicyclists. And so it's something we need to address. It's as bad as the AIDS epidemic, some people think. And maybe this mayor was right, Mayor Brett in Cincinnati back in 1908, saying that these women are physically fit to operate these big cars, which are essentially trucks. Maybe they need to take special driving lessons to learn how to handle these vehicles, so they're very powerful, and when they hit somebody or hit another car, they can do a lot of damage and have done a lot of damage. 1911, we have Willis Farnsworth. Now, Farnsworth invented the FM modular radio system, radio broadcasting. But this guy up in also in California, I don't know if he's related, he invented the coin-operated locker. So when you go to the bus station or the airport and you want to, you're in between planes or buses and you don't want to lug your luggage around, there's these coin-operated lockers. And this is the guy who invented them in 1911. 1912, a year later, Amundsen, Norwegian explorer, discovered the South Pole. Now, in Amundsen High School in Chicago and other places to honor this Norwegian explorer. Also, earlier last year, or late last year, we did an interview of a student from Amundsen High School in Chicago, a 14-year-old boy, who escaped being a victim of John Gacy. Get that on our archives here, and we'll bring it up again. In 1917, the first jazz record was cut. It was called the Dixie Band Step. We don't have, I couldn't find it in our archives, maybe there. We've got about 1,000 records and tapes. 1918, President Woodrow Wilson established the Distinguished Service Medal for our military, 1921, this is very important in the Russian military history. The Red Army went to crush the Kronstadt sailors uprising, and they defeated the Kronstadt sailors. It was a naval base in Russia. This was after the Russian Revolution, and of course, the general who crushed the sailors' revolt was none other than Leon Trotsky, whose grandnephew used to be the editor of the San Francisco Hearst Examiner, and his name was Phil Bronstein. That was the original name of Trotsky, who changed his name from Bronstein to Trotsky. In 1925, the blacks started to get political, and they set up the American Negro Congress. You don't hear that word anymore. One of the worst labor riots in the country, River Rouge in Detroit, 1932, there were riots there, and old Henry Ford brought in goons to beat up and intimidate the union workers who were demanding fair wages and fair treatment in the factory, in Ford's factories. If you play Monopoly, in 1933, Monopoly game was created, and I understand they're upgrading it. 1936, Hitler sent his troops into Rhineland, and the French, which had the biggest army and the best army at the time, did nothing to stop Hitler, and they later regret it. 1939, the first broadcast of Auld Lang Syne was done by Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians. Guy Lombardo was from Ontario, Canada, and we hear that every New Year's Eve, the Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians on Auld Lang Syne. 1942, Tuskegee Institute graduated their first black Air Force pilots, because there wasn't an Air Force at the time. And to her credit, Eleanor Roosevelt, despite the critics who said blacks couldn't fly like white men can't jump, black men couldn't fly airplanes, well, she went up with a black pilot to prove that these guys were just as capable as anybody else. And I understand that they're called Red Tails. That they, in the P-40s, they accompanied the B-17 bombers over Germany, and the Luftwaffe was afraid of them. And in 1965, the first of the major civil rights marches occurred in Selma, Alabama. It was brutally put down by the Alabama authorities, and of course, people still remember Selma to this day. And I remember back then. Now, people are wondering, some people are thinking, there was just last week there was a case in the Japanese civil courts, criminal courts, where two American military personnel, one guy, Christopher Browning from Texas, and another guy, Sky from Oklahoma, I think he's black or Indian, are accused of raping and robbing a Japanese woman, and they were prosecuted under what they call SOFA, the statute, Status of Forces Agreements, which are agreements between our U.S. State Department and every country where the American military is stationed, in which it provides procedures, due process procedures, for turning over American military servicemen who are accused of crimes against civilians in that country where they are stationed. You don't hear much about this. Now, of course, we have the Steve Neri case, which is 17 years this month. We don't have a statute of forces agreement with San Francisco, which thinks it's its own sovereign state, like Berkeley used to think, and we'll get into all the violations there, where this kid was, 18-year-old kid was stalked, he was drugged, he was raped and railroaded by the homosexuals who run San Francisco government at that time. Two sailors, one sailor and one, I think, I don't know what the hell he was. Anyway, they were given. One guy, Christopher Browning, was 24, from Texas, was given a 10-year sentence, and the other guy was given a 9-year sentence. There's a lot of anger about American servicemen who rape and rob Japanese women and Japanese civilians. There was a taxi cab driver who was robbed a couple of years ago. Now, what happens in Japan, and this is not broadcast, that as I understand it, we're not sure if this is true, but the U.S. State Department is supposed to send in American-style meals for American military personnel who are incarcerated in a foreign country's jails and prisons. Ordinarily, and the animal rights people ought to be concerned about this, especially the people who are opposed to whaling. I understand that Japanese populace are getting away from eating whale meat, even in sushi, but in prisons, the Japanese prisoners are served whale meat. Also, when a Japanese court gives hands down a sentence, either of whatever it is, 10 years in this case for Christopher Browning, he doesn't get time off or parole. He serves the full 10 years. And I understand this is the same thing that happens with Japanese. Now, also, when a Japanese court orders the execution, capital punishment for a convicted person. I don't know if any Americans have been executed. What happens is they don't have witnesses at the execution. What happens is that the condemned prisoner is executed, and then his family is told about it after the execution has taken place. Now, I don't know if they get his ashes or his body, but this is something that needs to be looked into, because more and more American military personnel and even civilians are accused of violating the laws of the countries that they are stationed in or are working in. Not only that, it is claimed that American military personnel are coerced into making admissions or confessions. We had a case in the Philippines several years ago where a young Marine was accused, and several others were accused, of raping this Filipino woman. He said, and they said it was consensual, and even a Catholic priest got involved. The kid was not Catholic, he was a U.S. Marine. He sought sanctuary in the U.S. Embassy in Manila. The Philippines demanded that he be turned over to them. He served some time in their jail, and then he was released. Now, I understand that the woman got a deal where, and I hear this from military veterans, that some of these women, some of them, claim that they've been raped. So that this, or they'll do a bogus marriage so that they can get entry into the United States. In other words, American military personnel are blackmailed, and these foreign women's meal ticket to get into the United States and get out of the lifestyle that they are living in, of the poverty, whatever. These are things that should be looked at. Since this is this is Chicago week, this is the week that the month that Chicago became a city, was founded by a black named DuSable. It's interesting that Chicago was criticized as one of the most segregated cities in the North, yet this city, Chicago, was founded by a black. Black with a French name, DuSable, which they have a high school named after him today. what's interesting also is that the fights between the various ethnic groups, the Cermak Bohemians and Polish and Germans versus the Irish ethnics, who have been in control of the city's politics since the assassination of Anton Cermak back during the mid-1930s. But we'll get into that Friday, and also when St. Patrick's Day comes around next week, we'll do our annual, we'll call it, some people think it's a spoof, and some tongue-in-cheek, or sometimes they would like to cut out my tongue. Some of the things you didn't know about the Irish, and some of the things you don't want to know about the Irish, and something very bad has come up regarding corned beef and cabbage. We'll get into that next week. You'll be shocked when you hear about this. It isn't horse meat so far that's been substituted for corned beef. It's something quite different and quite illegal. Another question is, since we're concerned about this epidemic of reckless driving on the road, it's time to start looking at these bicyclists. They put their wheels on the road. They should observe the rules of the road, and if they don't, should be ticketed. Not only that, they pay for nothing, and there's a growing number of taxpayers and citizens who are concerned about the special rights and privileges and exemptions that these people have, who have a lot of disposable income for lattes, fine wines, fine meals, and some are into cocaine. Also, since this is the anniversary of the founding of Chicago, General Berrigan, who I knew here, was the deputy director at Normandy and a water resources expert. He was called to Chicago to work on the American side of the St. Louis Seaway, which brought seagoing ships into the Great Lakes and into the port of Chicago. Here's an excerpt from the interview I did with him.
I was in San Francisco, and I had 4 years to do, and I thought I was living in this house, and I thought, I'm going to retire in San Francisco. And the chief called me up and said, listen, you got decorated by England, France, and Belgium. I have another international job. He said, what is it? He says, it's the Niagara Falls, really. And he says, it's a job with Canada, and I want you to go take over the division in Chicago. See, I had the division here that included districts in San Francisco. Now the divisions in Chicago included the Great Lakes, the district in Chicago and Buffalo. And another district up the north, northwest, you know, Lake Superior. It was a very interesting job of remodeling Niagara Falls, the Canadian.
Were they easy to work with?
Oh, terrific. And we both had the same idea. You see, that the international boundary goes right through Niagara Falls. Mm-hmm. And the falls had all the water going, practically 85% of the water went through the middle quarter of the falls where the international boundary went across. And what we did was to both go on our side of the international boundary and flatten that. We sandbagged so we got away from the water, but we made the elevation of the edge of where the water would go as the same as the elevation in the middle of the horseshoe. So that we spread the thing about so that Niagara Falls is maybe instead of quarter of a mile in the middle of the falls, it was 2 or 3 miles long, and that particularly made it very pretty, beautiful. In other words, and we actually generated more power. In other words, we put more power through the powerhouse because all that water is going through the middle of the falls. And for a show, you couldn't divert much more than they were diverting, whereas if you spread it out to a little bit of water, maybe only 6 inches of water going over the edge, and then diverting more for power, making equal amount of power on the Canadian and the United States side.
So for once, everything got shared.
It had to be that way. In other words, it was very logical that we wanted it to be that way. It was a fair thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, if I can get on an environmental thing, General, the
We will continue with this interview. It's not that long, on Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we'll end, and also we'll get into these jackals who are yapping about gun control. But they, when he brought up the fact that there are predators who will get these guns, sexual predators, as a notorious case here in San Jose, California, the Brian Hennessy case, also the Juan Pifre case, and there's some others who are gun nuts who also may have used guns to intimidate kids into sexual activity that they didn't want to get involved in. The Brian Hennessy that's come up in his case, which was censored and suppressed by the morons in the media. We'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we'll end with our usual politics and poker, which I understand some of the Chicago politicians played this game.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Ross?
Well, I'm sure there's some Democrats who are thinking of the next election and looking for a lot of qualified Republicans willing who will lose at the polls, or votes will be stolen from them. So we'll be back Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS, and this will be archived. Good night.